So, Mark chapter 1, page 1002 in the Pew Bibles, the calling of the first disciples. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 20. After John the Baptist was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the word of the Lord.
So last week, I said that we were starting a kind of little three-week series on what it means to be a part of St. Giles. What does it mean to be part of this community? And last week, in a strange order in some ways, we looked at serving first. We looked at serving, about how being a part of this community, each of us has a part to play. Each has a way in which we can serve others. And I want to say thank you to all of you who filled in those forms and shared the ways in which you are serving. Between us, the list goes on and on of the different ways in which people are using their gifts to be able to build up the community and reach out to different people. So do, if you didn't get a chance to fill one of those forms in, fill them in. And the other thing we said on that was that maybe you're sitting there thinking, you know, I would love to serve, but I have to wait for somebody to come and ask me. But actually, you might have a gift that nobody knows about. Or you might have a longing to do something. And sometimes we wait until we know everybody and feel that sense of belonging to offer to serve. But actually, it wasn't a strange order. We talked about serving first, because sometimes it's as we serve that we get to know people and can feel even more that we belong. But this week, we are going to talk about that sense of belonging. What does it mean to belong? What is it that we belong to? And here, in the start of Mark's Gospel, I think, in this really familiar passage, some of you will have read this passage of Jesus calling his disciples many, many times. And when we've read something like this many times, we often have to say, God, what do you want to show me today from it? Because the amazing thing about Scripture is that we can read the same thing many times, but each time God has got something that either he wants to remind us of, or tell us, or reveal to us as we discover more of who he is. And in this very short description of Jesus calling his first disciples, I want to pull out three things this morning. The first thing about belonging is that Jesus calls each of them by name. He calls, firstly, to Simon. He's walking beside the Sea of Galilee. He sees Simon and his brother Andrew. Now, he must have probably known them already, knows their names. He'd got to know them, he'd seen them, been aware of them. They will have known who he was. But there comes a moment when he asks them for a decision. There comes a moment when he says, "Will you come and follow me?" And Simon and his brother Andrew respond, "Yes." And they put their nets down. Now, actually, at that moment, that decision that they make, it doesn't mean that they sell everything and stop being fishermen completely. Sometimes Jesus does ask people he calls to sell everything and do something completely different. Peter doesn't sell it. We know that because later on, Jesus gets in his boat. So he must still have his boat. Unless it was someone else's boat that he was working for as a fisherman, but he's still got the ability to get in the boat. They've still got their nets. After the resurrection, they return and there they are fishing. But what Jesus does say is that the call is going to change your life because instead of all your time being fishing, now I need you to come and follow me to find out about me. I become the priority and I change life as you get to know me. I wonder this morning when you first heard that call from Jesus. Because he calls to each of us. And he calls to each of us with a decision. Not just to know about him, but to follow him. And some of us, that getting to know him happens really gradually over a very, very long time. And maybe you had the privilege of being born into a home where Jesus was talked about. Then you were able to go to church as a child or as a teenager. And it's been a gradual thing that you've known about him. And then suddenly you kind of realize, actually, it's not just about him. I know him. I know that he wants to know me. For others, there's the dramatic moment. Maybe you knew nothing about Jesus at all. And something, somebody, or some situation caused you to find out about Jesus and know that call. Whether we have gradually got to know Jesus over many years or whether we suddenly had an encounter with him, we're each called to a moment when we need to make a decision. And some of us this morning are being reminded of that moment when we made that decision, I will follow Jesus, whatever that looks like, to put down my nets and follow him. And for others of us, we might be thinking, I'm not sure I've made that decision. I've found out about him, I know about him, and kind of comfortable with talking about him, but have I said, yes, I will respond? And maybe this morning, you need to take that opportunity to say, I will follow. Jesus calls us to follow. And that is the key in belonging. Because first and foremost, we belong to Jesus. He is the one who knows us by name. And that's so key because in a place like St. Giles, as we grow and as we get bigger, we can't all know everybody. But we know that God knows us and calls us individually. We belong to him. There is a place for us. But the second thing I see in this is that Jesus doesn't call individuals to journey on this journey of discipleship on their own. He called 12 disciples to gather around him. And then he had a larger group around him who traveled with him and learned from him and ate with him and walked the paths and laughed and cried together. And those 12 that he called were really different to each other. And the larger group was even more different. Here, we've got 4 fishermen. But a little bit later, if we keep reading, we get the tax collector. The fishermen and the tax collector were quite different. They would have had some conversations, I imagine. Jesus, you're calling who? What have we got in common? But Jesus called them. He called Simon the Zealot, the activist, the one who would have been out doing stuff. He called Judas. He called other disciples who we know very much about because maybe their characters were quieter. But they were there. important. Jesus called a community to journey together to discover about him. And that community is so important. He called them to get to know each other. And often it was in their questioning or their arguing with each other that Jesus was able to teach them new things. And they discovered things about themselves. We, on that journey of discipleship, are called to be part of community, to get to know people. Because, you know, I can be journeying along and feeling like I'm doing quite well in my discipleship until I'm with other people. You know, I can be the most patient person in the world when I'm on my own, calling the shots, when I'm in a situation where there is a small seven-year-old boy, I discover my patience is not great and God has a lot of work to do on me and my temper. You know, God calls us into community both to learn the riches from each other and the questions that each other bring, but also because it's as I serve in that community that I am growing in that holiness that God wants me to grow in. He calls us into a community. And that's why being part of a small group, a group that gathers together, can be so important in our sense of belonging, because it's in that small group that we get to know each other. It's in that small group that we are known on our good days as well as our bad days. And we can share and ask others for prayer and journey together and bring our questions that have come out of a week where we've gone, I was having a tough week, I read this, it made no sense, I will take it to small group. And together we wrestle with it. And so maybe this morning as you think, you know, I've been journeying, I said yes to Jesus, I am following him, but I'm actually trying to do it on my own and that's quite challenging. And you might be part of one of the amazing small groups that we have at St. Giles. Or you may be thinking, you know, this new year, it's the time to become part of a small group. And if that's you, then ask at the end. We would love to tell you more about the small groups. Jesus calls us firstly to know him, to follow. He calls us to be part of a group where we can journey with others in community. Also, do you notice, thirdly, he calls them for a purpose, with a mission. Firstly, to get to know him, but then he says, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, says in my translation. And anybody who was part of Sunday schools decades ago, if you got a tune going round in your head, yes, I will make you fishers of men, fishers of men. But what's that calling? That calling was to say, as you discover more of who I am, so you are able to go into all of the world and share of who I am, to draw them, men and women, to know me. To be a light, to share of my goodness and my love for this broken world. And I am so grateful that those four disciples that Jesus called on that Sea of Galilee said yes. I'm so grateful because without, would we be here today? For they said yes. They journeyed with Jesus as a community and through the power of the Holy Spirit began to share of who Jesus was, that we might today know God. Later in life, when Peter, who had journeyed with Jesus, is writing a letter, and he's writing a letter to Christians who are scattered, many of whom were being persecuted for their faith, as we were talking about before. And he's writing to encourage them. And as he writes to these Christians who were scattered, some of whom wouldn't have been able to gather together, he's wanting them to know that sense of belonging, That sense that I belong, even if I can't gather with larger groups of people. And so he begins these amazing words in 1 Peter. He talks and says to them, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. When we look at our culture around us, so often people are longing for that sense of belonging, that sense that they belong somewhere. There is so much about finding your space, finding that group of people that you are like. And so often, people try and find it by finding people who are exactly like them. I need to belong, and so I'm going to find a group of people who are exactly like me. The amazing thing about the church is that we are different, but we belong because we are called by Jesus. Called and known by him, loved by him in all of our differences, called by him to be a community of people, and called by him with a purpose to share of who he is with those around us. We can feel sometimes, do I fit in? Actually, there is a U-shaped place here. Because God knows your shape and calls you here. And God calls us into that community of faith. We belong because he calls us. But as humans, we do need to get to know each other because we need those people around us to help us grow. And so being a part of a small group helps us to do that. So I do encourage you. I do encourage you. If you're not part of something, maybe as we begin at Lent, which is starting in just like 2-3 weeks' time. It's coming very quickly. Maybe that's an opportunity to say, well, I'll join a small group for a period of time and see how it goes. I'll just see how that is up to Easter. I'm not signing my entire year away, but I'll go for then. And you want to ask, then do please ask us. But maybe this morning, in the midst of all of that, what God wants to remind you of is that call. So we're just going to be still for a few moments. And if you're thinking, I'm not sure I've heard Jesus call to me, then ask him in the quietness. And if you know he's been calling for a very long time, and you've just said, I like knowing about you, I don't want to have to lay any nets down or change anything. Maybe today you need to say yes to that journey with Jesus. And Simon said yes to that invitation to Jesus. He had no idea of what that would entail. He didn't know the pain, the challenges, the joys. He didn't know what was to come. But he said yes because it was Jesus who was calling, who he knew at that moment he could trust. Father God, I want to say thank you. Thank you that you call to each one of us to know you and be known by you. That we are called to belong to your family. This morning, where we've forgotten that call that you came to us many years ago, remind us. Remind us again of your call to follow and your love for us. And if we, Father, this morning are hesitantly saying, in response to that call, come and follow me. Yes, I do want to follow you. I'm sorry that I've been trying to walk in a different way. I want to follow you. May we know your blessing today. And as a community, Father, will you help us in our small groups to be places where we can grow more like you, be equipped for day by day, being the light to the nations that you call us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In response to that, we're going to stand and sing. I'm going to ask that Jesus would be our vision. And I just encourage you, if you did say yes to Jesus today, then do tell somebody. Tell somebody this morning that you said that, as you step out into that journey with him. Let's stand.